You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we come to both the sermon and also our gospel reading at this time, and our topic today is peace. As we think about the word peace, probably many people in the world are thinking about the absence of war, or maybe a very tranquil or quiet or peaceful, calm kind of a situation. And those are ways in which the Bible also talks about the term, but it also uses the term in some other ways as well. So I'm going to give you, starting off here today, some ways in which the Bible uses the word peace. So first of all, we think about peace being a greeting. As we think about the Hebrew, we might think about the word shalom, or think about even on Easter Sunday, when Jesus appeared in the upper room, what did he say? He said to his followers, peace to you, as a greeting to them. Also, too, a very important usage of peace in the Bible would be freedom from anxiety. Many of us are familiar with that passage in Philippians chapter 4. God is saying to us, gather up everything that you're anxious about, and then give it to God. Give it to God in prayer, and then God will give you something back in return, and he will give you his peace that passeth all understanding. So it's a great trade, isn't it? We take all the bad stuff that we have, we give it to him, and he gives us this wonderful blessing of peace. Also, too, in the Bible, peace is used talking about agreement between either two individuals or two groups of people. As Moses was coming to the end of his life, he was giving people instructions before they went into the promised land, and he said to them, when you draw near to a city to fight against it, offer terms of peace to it. In other words, if you can, try to be at peace with people. In some cases, those terms of peace were accepted. In other cases, the people were not willing to accept it. They were saying, no, you can't pass through our territory. And the people came and attacked the people of God, and they had to fight back. But God said to them, if possible, be at peace with them. So God wants that between groups of people. He wants that between nations. And he even wants that between two individual people. God is saying, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. In other words, be in a good relationship with all people is what he's saying. And then we come to one final usage here. And this is the one I want to focus on today. So in Romans chapter 5, Paul wrote, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important kind of peace of all, peace with God. And it's only possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. In today's sermon, it's only a two-part sermon. I want to focus, first of all, on what happened when Jesus was 40 days old, and then we're going to jump ahead to a few questions on the topic of peace. But let me set this up, though. It's a little bit unusual, isn't it? Here we are, 40 days after Christmas, so we've already celebrated the birth of Christ. We've already remembered the wise men coming to visit him. We've thought about him fleeing into Egypt. We've thought about him coming back to Nazareth. We've thought about him growing up to 12 years old and taking the trip to Jerusalem. We've thought about him being baptized. We've thought about him gathering disciples. And we thought about him even doing miracles as part of his ministry, which was the gospel reading last week. So what are we doing now back to Jesus being 40 days old? It's kind of out of order, to say the least. Well, this happens to be a special feast in the church year, and it's only celebrated when February 2nd falls on a Sunday, which isn't very often. So that happens to be today. So today is 40 days after Christmas. Today would be the day when Jesus, as an infant, ends up at the temple, and something very extraordinary happens on that day. So that's our focus as we go to our gospel reading. So we're thinking about that amazing day. We're in Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 22. And the Bible says this, and keep in mind as I read here, Luke is talking both about the purification of Mary and also the presentation of Jesus, but it's not quite so easy to understand when I read it. But let me read it, and then we'll unpack it. Luke wrote, "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." So he's mentioned both purification and presentation. So let's try to sort this out. First of all, let's focus on the purification of Mary. So according to the law given by God to Moses, purification was required for a woman 40 days after she gave birth to a son. It was longer if she gave birth to a daughter, but 40 days for a son. The normal sacrifice that was to be offered in this case was a lamb. But we know from the Bible, though, that they did not offer the lamb. Instead, they offered the lesser sacrifice. We might call it the poor man's sacrifice. And why is that? Well, because keep in mind now, 40 days old, they're there in Jerusalem. So how did they get there? They made the trip from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, about a 6-mile trip. But what has not happened yet? The wise men have not yet come. So they have not yet received the gift of gold. They could not afford a lamb. So they go and offer the poor man sacrifice. And of course, after that, they go back to Bethlehem. Eventually, the wise men show up and so on, as we've talked about already over the last 40 days here at Bethlehem. So they offer the poor man sacrifice. And if you want to read all the details about it, go to Leviticus chapter 12. It's a real short chapter. It tells everything you need to know. Now we go on to the presentation. So the presentation, that involves our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we go to the law that God has given to Moses. And the law here says that all firstborn children belong to the Lord. And that reality goes back to the time of the Passover. So it connects in there. So all firstborn children belong to the Lord. The Lord said, with all the children, you are to redeem them. What does it mean to redeem them? It means you are to buy them back. What was the price to pay? It tells us right in the Bible, you were to pay 5 shekels of silver. So what ended up happening? Part of being at the temple on that day, the sacrifice was made to purify Mary, and then they brought Jesus and they presented him, and they paid the 5 shekels of silver. To find out all the details on that, you have to take a look at things in Exodus chapter 13, also in Numbers chapter 18. When you bring that all together, you can see that's what happened. Those are kind of the foundational things, if you will. Those are the reasons why they were there at the temple 40 days after Jesus was born. But something extraordinary, though, happened when they were there, even beyond the purification and the presentation, and that's what we come to now. So going to verse 25 here, the Bible says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Let me explain a little bit what that means. So this man Simeon, he was righteous. What does that mean? He was trusting in the promised Messiah. For From his perspective, the Messiah had not yet come. He knew about God's promise, he believed it, and he was waiting for him to come. Even like us today, we are waiting for the second coming of Christ. He, Simeon, he was waiting for the first coming of Christ. The Bible also says he was a man who was devout. So because he was righteous, because he had faith in the coming Messiah, it follows then that he was devout, and that means he was carefully observing the laws of God as best he could. And then it says he was waiting for the consolation, in other words, the comfort of Israel. So what was it that was going to bring comfort to Israel? What was going to bring that is the coming of the Messiah and the work that he would do to take away their sins. So that tells us a lot about Simeon with what I said. And then it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then picking up in verse 26, it says, "And it had been revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Let's try to put this into perspective here for a moment. So God, approximately 4,000 years earlier, had promised to Adam and Eve, in so many words, "I will send the Christ." So people are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting all that time. And Simeon is one who was waiting along with them. And then he is told that he himself, out of all those people who lived, he himself will see the Christ with his own eyes before he physically dies. Can you imagine how excited he must have been about that and how he was looking and waiting to see that particular baby boy who would be the very Messiah, the very Christ, the very Savior of the world? And then the Bible says here, picking up in verse 27, "And Simeon came in the Spirit." In other words, he was led by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, What would that custom be? To present him and to pay the 5 shekels of silver. So when they came in to do that, it says that Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." You're familiar with those words, aren't you? So that's one of our liturgical hymns. We know that as the Nunc Dimittis. Kind of an odd title, isn't it? Nunc Dimittis, but that is Latin for "now you dismiss." That's what Simeon was saying to the Lord, "now you dismiss." Think about that. So Simeon, he already had God-given faith in the promised Messiah. So everyone from Adam and Eve all the way to Simeon, every one of them who went to heaven, they had God-given faith in the promised Messiah. So for all such people, they were saved by looking ahead to what the Messiah would do when he came to take away their sins. However, though, think about Simeon. So not only does the Holy Spirit say, "Simeon, right there, that's the baby, right there, he's the one that God promised." So not only does he see him with his own eyes, but he's able to take him into his arms and able to speak this special blessing. So what was the result of that? He was even more sure of God's forgiveness. He confessed that Jesus came for everyone, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, thus for everyone. And also he was saying to God, he is saying, "Dear Father in heaven, since you have let me see the Messiah, now I am fully ready to leave this life. I am filled with complete peace knowing that my relationship with you is certain, because here is the very Messiah that you have sent to take away the sin of the world. And I know that everything is in place now, and I am ready for you whenever you are ready for me. I am ready to depart in peace. When you think about that liturgical hymn, it's a hymn that we sing sometimes after we receive the Lord's Supper. The idea is that with the eyes of faith, under the bread and under the wine, we have seen the very body and the very blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen the very means by which he took away the sin of the world. And then we are saying, along with Simeon, we are saying, "Dear Father in heaven, we are ready now to die in peace, because we know that in Jesus Christ our sins are forgiven." So that's how that all fits together. It's wonderful what he said, but let me read to you a quote from Dr. Luther. I want to hit these other three questions real quick, and then we'll be done. So Dr. Luther wrote regarding this peace through Jesus, "Whosoever has this Savior may have a peaceful, quiet heart. For though death be as terrible, the sin as mighty, the devil is evil, yet we have the Savior of God, that is, an almighty, eternal Savior. He is strong enough to move us out of death into life, out of sin into righteousness." What did he say? He is saying that no matter how great our sins are, the love and the forgiveness of God in Christ are even greater. Isn't that such good news? No one is left out. God has done everything for everyone in Jesus Christ. As I conclude today, three quick questions. So what is peace? I think you know already. Peace is being in a relationship with God our Father through Jesus Christ. So think about the Lord's Prayer. We pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Just think about that for a moment. We're calling the Almighty God our Father. Not that that was our idea. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. So that means it's really true that he is our Father. So if he is our Father, what does that make us? That makes us his holy children. What an awesome thing. That's what peace is. If you think about the situation before Christ did his work, we had God up here, we were down here, and in the middle, we had sin. This giant barrier that no one could overcome. Now, what did Jesus do? He's the Lamb of God, and he took away the sin of the world. He opened the way to God the Father. He opened the way for everyone through Jesus Christ. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. That's why no one can come to the Father but through him. And then, why is peace important? Well, you must know that too already. But there are essential gifts that God wants to give to everyone. Those gifts would be the forgiveness of our sins, spiritual life, eternal salvation, and many other wonderful things. And without that relationship with God through Christ, we're lacking all those gifts. But when we have the God-given relationship, then we have all the gifts I have mentioned, and even other gifts as well. Think about how blessed we are. And finally, then, we should include, how do we get that peace? I've talked about it. It's so wonderful. But how do we get it, though? Well, God has to give that gift of faith to trust in Jesus. So it's always a God-given faith. But God just doesn't give it anywhere and everywhere. God gives it through what we call the means of grace. So in holy baptism, God is giving that gift of faith to trust in Jesus. When we think about confession and absolution, we confess our sins, telling God that we are sorry, we know we've messed up, we know we're helpless to fix it, and then God says, "I love you anyway," and he says that in my Son, your sins are forgiven. So he's imparting to us even then this gift that we need, this great gift of relationship with him in Jesus Christ. And then when we think about the Bible itself, as we're reading the Bible, sure, does it point out that we're poor, miserable sinners? By all means. But also too in the Bible, over and over again, this is the love story as to how much God loves us and the extent to which he went in order to make us his own. So God is imparting to us this relationship, this gift of faith, this gift of forgiveness, and so much more through his holy word. And then as we think about going to the supper, God is assuring us in the strongest way, in an individual way. It's as if Jesus himself is coming to each of us and saying, I love you, therefore I gave my body, I shed my blood, I did it for you, I did it to take away your sins. And through what I have done, I want you to know beyond all doubt that your sins are forgiven. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for membership in your family. We pray that you would keep us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep us day by day in your holy word, and keep us close to you until we are finally dwelling in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.